Let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis. Let's get to the beginning of the beginnings. What a great place to get started and to get into the Word tonight. In Genesis, we'll see the beginning of creation. We will see the beginning of man. We will see the beginning of sin, the fall of man. We will see the flood take place on the earth and humanity destroyed. And then we'll see Noah and his ark and his three sons and daughters. And we'll watch all this. We'll watch Abraham be raised up and be selected by the Lord to birth a nation. And we'll watch all these things as we see this book of beginnings. What an awesome place to get started. You know, as we think about this, I think it's important for us to think about the Word of God and the place of the Word of God in our lives. This is awesome. As we get together tonight, this is what we want to do. Is we want to get into the Word. We want to know the Lord. We want to know who He is and what He's all about. And it's so important as we approach the Word that that's our heart. That's our posture. We want to know Him. We don't want just information. We want to know Jesus Christ in the midst of all of it. As we start in the very beginning, we find that there's just this lineage that starts picking up almost instantaneously, because you get going through all this genealogical report, so to speak, of just all this information of different people. But eventually things start to drop off, you know, and it just starts picking a line. And it starts going, and it's all leading to the person of Jesus Christ, as we've just picked up in Matthew, as we saw his birth. And so we're just picking up at the beginning now, and we're heading back towards that, where we see his birth again and stuff. Eventually, we'll get there again. So let's turn into Genesis, verse 1, chapter 1. In the beginning, God. That is really, if we can get to that point and accept that, we've got great things going for us. In the beginning, God. Well, where did God come from? The Bible declares that God is eternal, without beginning, without end. Something very hard for us to comprehend, but by faith, we receive that, we accept that. This is what's so important about just those few words. In the beginning, God. And we know that that word God is Elohim, and it's the descriptive. And it was interesting in reading on some of this, there was a Jewish rabbi who described the Elohim as not only just the compound that we have, but it is each part of the compound is separate and functional on its own, but yet is completely connected to the other. It's really fascinating to think about that each part is God in and of in itself, and yet all parts, all of the three. And so here we have that hint of the Trinity as we begin. It's a compound. In other words, it says it in such a way in the original language that it is the plural. There was a dual term that they could use of that word, a dual, and there was a singular, and then there is a plural, you know, one that is more three or more. And that is the word that's used here, Elohim. So it's three or more. And so it's the beginning that we see right there. And if we can accept this, in the beginning, God. It's a simple, simple statement, but it is what is so important for us. At the very beginning of it all, God existed. God existed. Before anything else, God existed. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So the presence of God was there in the form of the Spirit. We know that there are many theories as we look at creation itself. It's interesting, the more you read on this and the more you find out about it, the more you find out that they're really not quite so sure about what it is that they believe, those that would believe in a Big Bang or evolutionary process and some of these different things that they say. So much of it is just got so many holes in it. I mean, it's interesting reading, interesting contemplation. But there's just so much in that. But it's really limited, ultimately, in its real source of truth. You even read some of the things on the Scopes monkey trial. You know, you read some of those things, and it's just, it was so much, it was just a really kind of a setup when you start really researching it and the people that they were interviewing on it and in the courtroom setting. It's very interesting to go through and look at some of that also. I encourage you to read through and study some of these things. But the earth was without form and void. So the matter's out there somewhere, but just kind of floating. Interesting, as we see as we hit verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. If you'll either highlight or underline or just make a little notation or a little spot there, every time we come across in chapter 1, then God said. Then God said. Again, I'd like to back up on this idea of creation. When we hit in the beginning, verse 1, God created. That word created is bara in Hebrew. And it's an interesting word because it means created out of nothing. In other words, everything that we are an inferior trinity. We are made in, the Bible says, as we'll study through later, the similitude or the likeness, the similarity of God. We are made in the likeness of God. But we are an inferior trinity. We're not like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, a superior trinity, like the Godhead. We are an inferior trinity, but made in the likeness of God. And as we look at this and we see created out of nothing, we can't do that. God can do that because he's God, but we can't do that. We can't create something out of nothing. We have to have something to make something out of. We have to have all the raw materials. We have to have all the stuff, but God doesn't. That's what's interesting about that word when he talks about him creating it. It's creating something out of nothing. Taking nothing and speaking it into being. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let's read through verse 5. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Makes good sense, huh? And so the evening and the morning were the first day. Now this is interesting. We haven't gotten into the stars and the moon and the sun yet. Well, where's the light coming from? Interesting. We just read in Revelation, when we finished up Revelation, that he himself was going to be the light, remember, of the new Jerusalem. God is, the Bible declares, light. He is light. Isn't that radical to think about that? What is the light of God going to be like when we get into his presence in that sense and experience that? That's going to be radical. What is the light of God going to be like? And the light transcends and you know, it separates the darkness. And what is, and as we read, I remember reading in Joshua when the sun stood still, remember? And we go back even further into Exodus and we remember the darkness, you know, covered Egypt, remember? Before they were taken out. What, and this darkness that's described is not just blackness, but it's a darkness that you can feel. You can sense that type of darkness. You ever, maybe, you know, this is going out a little bit, but you ever experienced something in a spiritual sense where you sense the enemy maybe trying to mess with you somehow or something going on? You maybe wake up in the middle of the night and yeah, it's dark, but you sense that the presence of darkness. You know, sometimes that kind of thing can happen. You can sense the presence of darkness. And so here, as we have described for us, God is light, and he just speaks light. He just says it, and light is. You know, he just says it. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Literally, it's light be, light was. Literally, light be, light was. Isn't that radical? Then God said in verse 6, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So this first kind of layer of what takes place in the original creation, we have this canopy, as it were, of this vapor that's there. And he kind of separates the vapor into the sky versus the water that's, you know, going to be in the deep, you know, and it's just this kind of separation, which is interesting because it prolongs life tremendously. It gets rid of the cosmic rays. It gets rid of the ultraviolet rays. It filters all that stuff. And so when we read these guys, because we're going to come across these guys that are living 1,000 years or something, 900 and something years, and we're going to stumble across these people that have this massive longevity of life. You know, maybe there's a misconception of time here, or maybe the Bible's, you know, maybe this is just kind of a mythical thing that's being described for us. I literally believe all this. You know, so there's a lot of people that go in, and they go in through a lot of, and there are different theories, and I'm not going to split hairs over any of it. I just believe he says he did it in 6 days. Hey, if he can speak it into being, I believe he can do it in 6 days. It's just, it's that simple for me, personally. And I just would rather accept. God asks us not to really defend, really in that sense, you know, not to defend. He doesn't need us to defend him in that sense. You see what I mean? But he does ask us to believe him by faith, to accept what he says and to trust him. And we'll talk about that a little bit further as we get into it. But there's this separation then between this water that's in the earth or there, and just this kind of a separation that goes into the atmosphere and covers like the canopy. And so that's like the first realm there. Awesome. Kind of just a very kind of lush, creates a very environment perfect for real lush vegetation. And it's pretty neat. Then God said, okay, now this is the third time, then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And so it was, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and he gathered together the waters and called the seas, and God saw that it was good. Each time he just looks at it and goes, yeah, this looks pretty good. You know, that's an interesting term that keeps coming up. It's good. It's kind of done. It's complete. If God thought there needed to be any more added to it, he would have done it because he could just speak. He's very creative. Look at it as we go through. Seriously, it's fascinating to think that this is all in the mind and heart of God, that he's just speaking these things into happening and being. And it's very fascinating and marvelous. You know, I love being a child of God and reading through these kind of things and then thinking back to being a little kid and the exploring and the wonder. I think a bummer happens to us as we get older. Wonder seems to kind of depart from us a little bit. I don't know how many of you have been to the Grand Canyon. We just flew over it a few hours ago. And, you know, when you look out at the Grand Canyon, I can't help but always wonder. You know, I'm just full of wonder and awe when I look at the Grand Canyon. I know that they can tell me about how it took billions and millions of years for all this river to do this and do that. But, you know, my dad kind of got the ability to just kind of go like that and just kind of make this awesome canyon. And, you know, and just do things. God just has his way of doing things. And I don't doubt that maybe there was some, you know, big ice thing that came through there and carved. Who knows how God chose to do it. And maybe he used the Colorado River. I don't know. I just know that when you look at it, it's awesome, and I am filled with wonder. I think it's important for us as children of God to enjoy the sense of wonder. You know, we just have been talking about, you know, new life and the new baby and you know, just the wonder and the miraculous concept of conception and birth. You know? That's the closest we can come to creation. It, which is in procreation. That's the closest we come to understanding that, what God has done. And he's created all that we see around us. It's so wonderful. So the earth now that has separated from the water, and the land, dry land, is now separated. And he just says, you know, it's good. It's good. I'm done with this part. It's good. Then God said in verse 11, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to, notice that please, according to its kind. Because we're going to come across that, according to its kind. There's just some catch things that you got to embrace as you go through this, according to its kind. In other words, we go out and we grab corn seed, and we go out and sow corn seed out in our field. We should anticipate to have corn growing soon. If you plant corn seed and you're looking to have a wheat field, you've made a big mistake. Why? Because you planted corn seed. It's of its own kind. And what's going to come forth is its own kind. It's not going to come forth wheat. It's going to come forth corn. And so this its own kind is important, because this kind of talks to us and speaks to us about the process that is really clearly refuted here in Genesis of the evolution aspect itself. Because they're saying this thing mutated into this thing, which mutated into this thing, which caused that thing, and out of this mud you just kind of crawled out in a matter of time. But it's after its own kind that things happen. You know, I know we've got a bunch of different kinds of dogs or a bunch of different kinds of cats and stuff. I understand that, but they're still in the same, they're in the cat family. They're in their own kind. The dogs are in the dog family. They're in their own kind. We don't have dog cats. The cartoons have them, but we don't have dog cats, you know. You see what I'm saying? Its own kind is important for us. Note that, because it's important, because we'll see that coming up. So it brings forth grass, and the herb yields seed, the fruit tree that yields its fruit, all according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. The days are interesting, evening to morning. It's different than the way we perceive it. The Jewish culture, you know, they perceive it like it's written here. The day begins in the evening, and it goes from what? Darkness to light. Isn't that awesome? If you think about it, that's the cycle that's supposed to happen with our lives, from darkness into light. And as we see here, this is the way God designed a day. From darkness, you know, the evening, and morning into the next day. From darkness into light. And God said in verse 14, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Now we're heading into the fourth day, and now we're just getting into the stars and the sun and the moon and everything, but yet there's been light. What's interesting is there's been light that even supports life. Isn't that fascinating? That fascinates me. How great is our God, you know? I mean, when you look at it like this and you say, well, maybe got some things, maybe they confused some things. No, this is the way it happened. I think God slips this stuff in just by design, just to blow our minds, because he's God. You see, to me, it doesn't all have to make sense when it comes to God. I am inferior and incapable of comprehending all of who God is. God is just, you know, vast and all-knowing and all-capable. We're not. And so it just keeps it in a good perspective, even from that viewpoint. So now we're heading into this, the first heavens, we kind of had the atmosphere there. Now we're heading into the next layer of heavens, right? Which is going to be the stars and the, so the heavens, to divide the day from the night, verse 14, the middle part here, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. You know, those who are really into the studying of, you know, galaxies and all this stuff, you know, we're just like this little speck in space. The earth is just this little speck in space. Again, how vast, how awesome is our God? We're just this speck, you know, really in this complete, the Milky Way galaxy is just this little thing inside of this gigantic galaxies and all this other stuff out there. That's wild to think about, but true. I think the more they study some of these things, the more revelation we get, or the more revealing it is, it really demands some kind of response. And yet they spend most of their time trying to defend something, or trying to defend a theory, and yet they aren't really researching, is the theory true? Notice that. That's very fascinating. They're very busy about defending the theory instead of finding out if their theory is true. It's an interesting way to look at this. And if you'll watch, that's what most of the time we see and read, is the defense of the theory, not the validation of the truth of the theory, which kind of changes the perspective a little bit to me. Because it's important for it to be truth. And we know that we have the truth right here in front of us. God said it, and that settles it. So he made the two great lights. We have the moon and the sun and the stars. And God set in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Again, it's good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Again, now here we have the sixth time here that God said, let the waters abound with the abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above and across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created sea creatures, and every living thing that moves on which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply. And again, did you notice there in verse 21? According to their kind. I have not seen an octopus shark. You seen an octopus shark? Why? Why is there no such thing as an octopus shark? They don't match. They're two different kinds. They both live in the sea, but they're two different things. And there's no connection between the two except for they live in the sea. It's its own kind. It's not some weird, we all came out of this amoeba cell thing and every living, you know. I really believe that the people that believe this have a lot more faith in something that obviously is not true, but they have exercised their ability to believe. I really believe that where you appropriate your faith is highly, highly critical. I think we all agree with that. Where you appropriate, because you've been given this measure of faith and you're going to appropriate it somewhere. But where you appropriate, where you give your faith to, where you what you put your faith in affects your eternal, everlasting life. It affects you forever and ever and ever. I told you many times, I had that friend that believed, was kind of getting caught up in this whole astronaut theory. and was telling me all about it. And, you know, he's kind of into the whole sciences thing, and he's telling me about his views and this and that. This is, you know, cab of a pickup truck conversation type thing on a job site. And he's telling me about it. And this goes on for weeks and weeks and months and probably up to a year. And he keeps telling me about all these things that he's coming across and blah, blah, blah. Finally, and he says, you know, but then he looks at me. He hit a pretty big bump in the road. You know, his marriage fell apart. All kinds of things were happening and just everything was going south. And he said, you know, because I wish I had faith. You know, you have faith. You believe in God. You know, it's just, you have faith. I said, wait a minute. He said, for the last year or so, you've been telling me all about these astronauts and everything that you believe in and all this stuff. You have faith. You're just putting in something that isn't helping you. We have faith. It's where we appropriate it. And so it's important for us to put it in the right place. According to their kind, the living, the sea creatures and the birds of the air. And God blessed them, verse 22, be fruitful, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply the earth. So evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said again, let there bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And I know many of us, when we get to heaven, will ask certain questions about certain creeping things. Why'd you let them get on the ark? What was with that? Any of you who've had a flea infestation in your house will wonder about the flea. Those things that hop onto your pets and come into your house. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that was good. You know, he looked at the design and what he'd created. Now think about the things that were created as you look at just the whole animal kingdom as it is. You know, if you watch any of those kind of animal shows or anything, you travel to Africa via the media system that we have, and you watch and you look at all these cool lions and the spotted, you know, the leopards, and you know, just all that. It's awesome to look at them. The big giraffe, and think about God, out of his who he is, designed that. You know, and there's this odd cycle and purpose to some of it, you know, to all of it, really. You know, if you study like physical geography and you get into some of the balance of water and stuff on the face of the earth, they've pretty much figured there's the same amount of water on the earth that it started with. Because it travels now through this cycle. You know, it turns into vapor, you know, from the heat, heats up in the tropics, comes up, goes up into the sky, you know, turns into, you know, a cloud, the vapor attaches to dust particles, you know, it turns into a cloud, then the cloud comes over, hits land mass, you know, orographic uplift, starts letting loose, it gets too heavy, lets loose, now we have rain, the water goes down into the earth, you know, creates a lake, creates a river, chases back down into the ocean. It's just a complete cycle. There's a balance. Even in the midst of a world that's gone somewhat awry, there's still a balance to it because of God's original design. Interesting. We'll get into some more of the water system and some of the things that happened when we come up against Noah's events that happened with him. We'll talk about that a little further. But so each of the animals, and it is interesting that as we hit verse 26, there is a separation between the animal kingdom and mankind. We're after a different kind. We're not after the animal kind. We're part of the God kingdom. You know, we're part of a different side. We're not a part of the animal side. We're different. We have a reasoning process that animals do not have. We have an emotion process that's entirely different than animals have. We're not animals. We have a moral side to us that animals don't have. And then God said, let us make Interesting, again, a plural on this. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Well, we got a job, you know, we were to subdue, have dominion over. And it is interesting as we see this account in verse 26 through 28. Now, there isn't like a separate account as we hit chapter 2 later. Okay, there's not a separate account. This is chapter 2 is just the expanded account of verses 26 through 28. It's just the amplified account of why? Because it's extremely significant. We are extremely significant in the midst of creation. Here is the account of man in the big picture as it's written out for us. Here's the account of man coming onto the scene. Then we hit chapter 2 and it's just the amplified, expanded account. And so that's kind of helpful when you're studying through it. So you see, well, it's not like we were created once and then something went south and then you had to, you know, it's not like that. It's just the expanded version so that we get a bigger picture of the way creation took place for us and what was happening as he designed and made us. We're made in his own image, the likeness of God, male and female. And then he goes on and tells us how male and female were created. The first one wasn't some bizarre hybrid of some unisex thing, okay? That's not what happened, you know? Adam wasn't some unisex thing that then had to be divided apart to get to, you know? That's not what happened. It was just an expanded version here that we'll get in chapter 2 that will tell us more about it. And we'll catch that in our next study because we got a few things that we want to talk about tonight as we go through this and finish this up. So man's been created in the likeness of God. We're to subdue it, the earth, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, so it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food, and so it was. And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Not only did this turn out good, but man, you know, this is just excellent. It's excellent. So evening and morning were the sixth day. Now, we'll get into the Sabbath concept and some of this in chapter 2 and in our next study. But before we go on to that, I want to kind of address this idea of then God said. I want to get us into the thinking of some things about and then God said. This is, for us, the revelation, a revelation of God. God revealing himself to us through his word. We have creation itself that is also a revelation or a revealing of God's who he is to us through creation that surrounds us. And in this, it all cries out as we read and study, we see, you know, God said it and it happened. It's his word. I think easy for us to maybe not allow enough place for his word in our lives. I think it's easy for that to happen. I was just reading in Joshua something that happened, maybe chapter 11, but somewhere in chapter 11 or 12, where there was a group that had come out to hook up with him. And he was supposed to be in the land, taking the land, but this group came out and started hanging with him, and they kind of deceived him, deceived Joshua. And they brought some, you know, moldy bread with them, and they were people from the area, and they had brought, you know, they'd worn shoes and clothes that were tattered and all this stuff, you know, and they'd come out and they started hanging with Josh. Said, well, we've traveled a long way, you know, kind of gave him this whole big song and dance story about everything. And they made a pact with him. Now, they were supposed to go in. What was he told to do? Go in and take over the land and utterly destroy the inhabitants of the land. That was the instructions. But these guys knew that they were told to do that, and so they wanted to appease Joshua and make a deal with him. They were trying to make a deal with Joshua. And so as they were trying to make this deal with him, he said, oh, gosh, you know, he kind of felt bad for him. What was he going by? His own personal emotion, going by whatever information he had at the time. And it says there, I think it's verse 14. I just can't remember whether it's chapter 11 or chapter 12. I'm pretty sure it's verse 14. He says to him, makes this deal with him, and then it says, the deal was a bad deal. And it went down. The deal went down, and they had to stick with it. But it went down because, he said, we didn't inquire of the Lord. That would be prayer, seeking the mind and the heart of God. And that would also be, you find David made mistakes moving the ark, remember? Remember we talked about Uzziah, you know, who jumped out and, you know, he got zapped because he jumped out and tried to, the ark started to slip off and he got zapped and taken out of the picture. And David was all bummed, you know, Uzziah's, you know, what a bummer and all this. And, you know, because he's trying to do something cool, get the ark back to where it needs to be. So the blessing of the Lord's going to be, you know, he's doing the right thing, but he's going about it, the wrong way? Why? He wasn't keeping familiar right up to speed with the word, because in the word it says how to move the ark. Get the stave, you slide it through the thing, you lift it up, and the priests were to carry the ark. You know, the ark's just not supposed to go on an ox cart. But why not? Because God said so. That's it. A lot of things we don't need. God said so. What do you mean we're supposed to worship him in spirit and truth? Just what he says. He wants us to worship him in spirit and truth, and he's seeking those who will worship in spirit and truth. But why does he want to worship? Because he says so. He's God, remember? You know, you see, it's that kind of thing. But the trouble came when what? Didn't make inquiry of the Lord, didn't seek the Lord's guidance and direction, and didn't stay contemporary or plugged in with the word. It's talked about in the Proverbs oftentimes, you know, how we're supposed to stay up to speed in the word. A couple of things I want to share with you about the word of God. You know, as we go through, it's not possible for us to read Psalm 119 this evening. It would take a better part of the rest of the night. But I encourage you, read through it from time to time. Digest. It is all about the Word. 119th Psalm. A lot of territory to cover. It's a big, 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 big chapter. But it's all about the word, the significance of the word, the importance of the word in our lives. Joshua 1:8, regarding the word. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know, I don't know too many that don't want to be prosperous and have good success in life. And what does that mean in God's economy? Well, you know, I don't always know exactly what that's going to mean or how that's going to play out. But I do know that God says if you want to have a successful and prosperous life, remember, God's economy works different than our economy, you know? He's not talking we're all supposed to drive, you know, the most expensive cars. He's not talking about, that's not what he's talking. But if you want to have a fulfilling, worthwhile, successful life, prosperous life, prosperous in the kingdom, just a fulfilled life, we want to stay in the word. It's not to depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That contemplation of the word. We've been looking at something that talks about, you know, then God said. It was his word. He spoke it. And it always did what, as we read in Isaiah 55, where he says, his word goes out and it doesn't return back void, But it, where it goes, it accomplishes that for which the purpose that he sent it. That's not an exact quote, but that's very close. You get the gist of it. His word goes out, and it accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it. And so we want to take it into our lives and experience the fullness of what he has for us in it. A couple of, I got like four little things that I think is good for us to contemplate regarding the Word of God and just in our reading of the Word of God and our thinking about it, because we're talking about the creation and all that happened. The first thing we want to do is read through the Word consistently. Just be consistent in your reading of the Word. It makes a big difference in your life. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. To be searching it out, to be studying through, to be contemplating, to be thinking about it consistently. God will reveal to us, so it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. But God will reveal truth, his word. He will speak to our hearts as we are consistently in the word. If I'm consistent in reading through and spending time with God in the word, he is going to speak to my heart. That idea of him speaking to our hearts leads to this next thought. What about reading with expectation? So we're to read through it consistently. We're to be consistent in our devotions with the Lord and spending time with God, because we're meeting with God. God's going to, he says, you know, if you're looking for me, I'm going to hook up with you. You know, he's going to do it. He'll always do that. But we're also to read not only consistently, but expectantly or with expectation. We know that in Habakkuk, you remember chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, when he talks about going up onto the ramparts. You remember, and waiting for the vision of the Lord and waiting to hear from the Lord. And so he was waiting, wanting to hear and listen to the voice of God, what God had for them. And then it tells him that he's to expectantly hear from the Lord. And remember, he's told to write the vision, you remember? This is that whole idea of interaction with the Lord. So not only are we to be consistent, but we're to be expectant. We're to expect that God is going to speak to us in our times that we spend with him. I think not only in the times that we spend personally, but as a body of believers, as we get together, we go through the Word. Why I'm saying all this is because we're going back to the very beginning and starting in the beginning with the Word again. Why are we doing this? Why do we believe that that's so important in ministry? There's so many valuable things that we can do. One, it keeps your pastor on top of things so that he's not just riding some hobby horse and some weird trip that, you know, and that's how weird things get started. We get on a bent of something that is a strong point or something that we've got this big thing that we want to see happen or whatever it is. That's how things get skewed. The Bible talks, Paul told the group of Ephesian elders there on the shore before he was taken off, and he'd gotten together with them. He was telling them, he said, hey, I haven't shunned to give you the whole counsel of the Word of God. It's important for us to take on the whole counsel of God's Word. So as we go back and start over again, the importance of this in going through it, it's good for you. It's good for me. It's good for us as Christians, to be taking on the whole counsel of God's Word. We begin to have a balanced life. Balanced diet on the Word of God, a balanced life. So we're to approach it consistently and with expectation. And then I think it's important to us also to enjoy conversation with God. You know, as we read David's accounts, as we go through David's accounts, man, that guy was a trip, wasn't he? And he's always rapping with the Lord, isn't he? Everything he's talking about, he's always, you know, writing, you know, about how this happened, and he's just talking about the Lord, and he's always interacting and keeping kind of an account of a, you know, and I told the Lord I wanted to knock all their teeth out, you know, and I wanted to just cut their heads right off. I wanted to hang their heads from the, you know, he's real descriptive of his expression of his heart with the Lord. He was interactive. He was conversing with the Lord. And I think in prayer and in our scripture reading, as we're taking on the word and as we're reading, we're saying, well, you know, Lord, what are you really trying to tell me here? What would you have me to know tonight? Or what would you want to speak to my heart this morning? What is it, Lord, that you want me to know? I can tell a distinct difference in my days that I jump out and get rolling too quick and really haven't hooked up with the Lord. I'm still saved, you know, not doubting my salvation, okay? That's not where I'm at with that. But the quality of the moments of my life, the quality of my life is different when I've hung out with the Lord. It just sets a different pace for the day. And I think we would all attest to that. Conversationally is part of it. That reading and then listening and then talking to the Lord, you know, interacting with the Lord. You know what, brothers and sisters? This is going to take my time and this is going to take your time. But I believe it develops a quality of the Christian experience and the Christian life that is unsurpassed. I think it'll help you to get through and stay away from prolonged dry spells. There are seasons that are drier than others. I believe our lives can be seasonal. The scriptures kind of talk about that. The bird song's floating around in my head, to everything, turn, turn, turn. You know, but it's a scriptural thought, you know, in Ecclesiastes. But, you know, that whole idea there, though, and the reality of that, that to everything there is a season. There are seasons in our lives, but we don't want to stay in a dry spell longer than we need to, do we? I don't want to. And so this helps us conversationally also. And then let's flip over to Acts 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert. It's an interesting statement right off the bat. This is a desert. So he arose and went. Now all kinds of great things are happening. And Philip is being said, "Hey, listen, why don't you go? I want you to go over here." It's important when we're interacting with the Lord and the Lord's ministering to us that then there's also that follow through of our obedience to the Word. When the Lord's ministering to us, we want to be obedient to it. Philip was obedient. He went down, he did what the Lord ministered to him. He went down and did what the Lord said, told him to do. So I remember the Ethiopian, you can read it's those up through verse 40. But he goes through this whole radical experience with the Ethiopian, hooks up with this Ethiopian. This guy ends up getting saved. He baptized him and all this stuff. This guy probably took, you know, the word of the Lord on. This was a divine appointment, which we talk about from time to time. And those divine appointments happen as we are obedient to the Lord. Now, we're not going to really be obedient to the word of the Lord unless we've been in the word, right? Unless we're conversationally involved with the Lord. Unless we're, you know, coming to the word expecting God to speak to us personally for the day, for the situation, for the circumstance. And that consistent walk with God does powerful things. A couple of this is just extra things to contemplate and look through. We know that the scriptures talk about the inspiration of the word. 2 Timothy 3:16, the inspiration of the word of God. All scripture, you know, is profitable, remember, and it's inspired by the Spirit. All scripture is inspired. And so we want to look at that and know, okay, the word of God, it's inspired as we read it. It is inspired and it bears witness with the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the trustworthiness of the word, 2 Peter 1:16 through 21. The trustworthiness of the word. Then part of the purpose of going through as we study and read the word too is that we end up in 2 Timothy 2:15, you know, study to show thyself approved, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We want to study so that we're useful to in our master's hands. We want to know the word and be useful. Now, that usefulness is determined on the circumstance at hand, isn't it? What is the situation? And we want to be useful in that situation, whatever it is. And God's going to speak to our hearts. And if we're hanging out with him, he's going to minister to us. But all this is happening as we are in the word, as we are going through the word. I just think that the importance of that is significant for us. You know, and I know as a group, as we get together, we wouldn't be here if we didn't think that was significant or important. And I'm just giving you high fives. You know, I'm with you. You know, it's significant. It's important to us. And it makes a big difference for all of our lives. Stay with it. Stick with it. Dig in. If we're weak on some of these areas, it's okay. Try and get back into it. The enemy's always trying to distract us. We don't walk around condemned about it. Let's just do something about it. Let's just say, Lord, help me to purpose it in my heart that I'd be with you, that I'd hear from you, that I'd be contemplating your truth. It not only goes into our lives, but it comes out from our lives. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, you find that it goes into the life, and then that same word was going out. And Paul said, hey, I don't even need to talk to anybody around those areas much because of your, you know, proclamation of God's word activated in your life, you know. And so that word goes in and it comes out of our lives. It comes forth from our lives. Also, chapter 2, verse 13 is just another snippet in 1 Thessalonians of that same concept. And the last one here is that by taking on the word, we end up being, you know, completely filled with the Lord, and we get the knowledge and understanding and discernment and all the good things that come from the word being in our lives. Again, we can avoid that situation that happened with Joshua, you see. We can avoid that circumstance because if we make inquiry of the Lord through prayer and through his word regarding a situation, we're going to get guidance and direction. He's going to speak to our hearts and he's going to show us what to do. But that idea of being filled with him or experiencing the fullness and walking with him closely, Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. I encourage you to contemplate some of these things, read through some of these things, go back and check them out, think about them, because it's important for us to know that that's what we're doing. That's why we like to go through the word, because the word sets the pace for our whole lives. In the beginning was God. God is at the center of all things. He has always been in existence. And man, I'm telling you, if we really believe that, when we go through the word, as we read through the creation, as we read through in our next time, the design for the Sabbath rest, and then also the design of a man and a woman, and the whole thing that goes on there, real important. We'll talk a lot about marriage. We'll talk a lot about the design and the difference between males and females, and a lot of good things in our next study next week. So it's important, though, we set this stage that we see the significance of the Word of God, so that then we can take and experience the application of the Word of God into our lives and take it on for what it is, that He knows what's best for me and He knows what's best for you, and that we can experience that, the fullness of what God has for us. Let's pray. Father, tonight we do thank you that you've given us your word, that it ministers, that it meets our deepest needs. Lord, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that, Lord, you bring to remembrance those things, Lord, by the power of your spirit. Your word tells us that your spirit will bring to remembrance. Lord, help us, Lord, to be dining on your word, because if in fact we've been dining on your word, there is the possibility of bringing it to remembrance. Lord, even if we read things without full comprehension, Lord, we're open to you. We want to hear from you. We want to come expectantly. We want to come consistently, Lord. Lord, we want to converse with you, Lord, that we might receive all that you have for us, that we might know you intimately, that we might walk with you more closely. Lord, how many times there's been faltering in our lives because we just didn't, like Joshua, make inquiry with you. And Lord, it is my desire to make inquiry with you and to have you guide and direct. And Lord, then we want to be obedient to your word. We want to do those things that you speak to our hearts. Not but because we have to, but because we get to, because you've ministered to us. May you empower us to walk closely with you throughout the rest of this week. Give us those things that we need from you for this week. And may your word be that which really satisfies us, really fills us. May it be like Job said, that which is more important than my daily bread, but that your word be that which really satisfies. Lord, we thank you for this. Pray that you just continue to bless and minister to us as we go through Genesis, the book of beginnings. In Jesus' name, amen.